Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. After taking a week off last week, I'm going to continue to go through the Apostles' Creed today to give you some background on why we say what we say every single week. Because we might take for granted that the words we recite by memory were once really quite controversial words, and that people died to spread this message across the years. The second part of the Apostles' Creed focuses on Jesus, our Savior, and it starts by saying who Jesus is and why it matters. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. In Martin Luther's explanation to the Creed, he begins the explanation to the second article about Jesus like this. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. Now, those who have been Christians their entire life, this statement might seem kind of bland, kind of boring. I already knew all that. But these words about Jesus being both God and truly a human being were a really big deal at the time, and they still are, even though we don't often think about that and realize it. Let me put it this way. Most people are pretty okay with Jesus being a human being in general, but they balk at the idea of him being God. Jesus's humanity is at least not normally up for debate. For example, Jews believe that Jesus was a real person. The famous Jewish historian named Josephus, he argued that there was a man named Jesus right at that time who was crucified on a cross. The Jews just don't believe that he was raised from the dead. They believe he was a human being. According to the religion of Islam, they also believe that Jesus was a great prophet, second best next to Muhammad. In fact, neither Judaism nor Islam believes that Jesus was the Son of God, but they always say, yeah, he was a great guy. And yet, this confession that Jesus is truly God and not just a human being is where we find our freedom as Christians, because we believe he can do more for us than just motivate us. A great teacher, a great prophet, a great preacher might be able to motivate us and encourage us to do things, but only God could actually save us. But why should we believe that Jesus was divine? The Creed refers to the miracle that starts it all. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you aware, I was not aware of this until I went to seminary, are you aware that many Christians argue that you don't have to believe that Mary was a virgin? They say, that's not that big of a deal. Well, I hope to show you today that it really is a pretty big deal. Maybe hard to believe, I understand, but it's really important to our faith to believe that she truly was a virgin when she had Jesus. Maybe you doubt it yourself, though, I understand. After telling many confirmation students about this over the years, I've had more than a few yell out, "But that's impossible!" It's like, yeah, indeed, it is. I'm glad you understand that. A person that's a virgin, never had sex before, shouldn't be able to get pregnant. But it's kind of the point. It was impossible for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to be pregnant as a virgin back then, just like it would be today. It's why Joseph, her fiancé, was deciding to divorce her quietly, because he knew she was lying, until an angel told him in a dream that she was in fact telling him the truth, and that Jesus was God's own son. It is that very impossibility that makes it so important that we confess that Mary was indeed a virgin after all. The virgin birth is one reason why we believe that Jesus was truly the Son of God and not just another human being like everybody else. And it's not because sex is a bad thing. People seem to get confused and think that the virgin birth is really about sexual purity, and it's not about that at all. That's not the issue. It's about Jesus coming into the world in a way that's different than any other living being before or after. That's what matters. Because the only way Mary can have a child while still being a virgin is if she conceived this baby in a supernatural way. But that brings us to the next problem that people have with Jesus. Once people can believe that Jesus is truly God, supernatural, then it's like the tables have turned, and now they don't want to believe that he's a human being anymore. We say both in the Apostles' Creed, though, that he's true God and true man. In order to explain this issue that people now have with Jesus' humanity, I need to tell you about a guy from history named Nestorius and a controversy in the early Christian church. Nestorius was the bishop of Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, Turkey, in the early 5th century. And he argued that, well, you could say that Mary was the mother of Jesus in his humanity, but don't you go saying that Mary is the mother of God. Because that would not be fitting, he said. Not fitting. He didn't like the idea. I mean, if you read his stuff, his big problem was he did not like the idea of Jesus going through the birth canal. He thought women were kind of, you know, full of cooties or whatever. He didn't like that idea of God going through the birth canal. His birth is messy. And Nestorius didn't want God to get too dirty. But I hope that you can see the problem with this if you take it to its natural conclusion. If it's too messy or dirty for God to be born as a human being, then what do we do when Jesus is suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane? Or when he's being flogged to within an inch of his life by the Roman soldiers? Or when he dies on the cross, which gods aren't supposed to do, and then gets buried? Eventually, we run into this problem that Jesus, as God, is doing a lot of human things. See, it's Jesus' true divinity and true humanity, both together, that make the difference for us as Christians. You must be able to say with complete faith that God became flesh, and to be able to say that apart from this man, Jesus, there is no God. That's what the Reformers said. They said both at the same time. Both of those things, while controversial, are really important. That's the shock of saying the Apostles' Creed every week. But what does it mean for us today that Jesus is both true God, Son of the Father, and true man born of the Virgin Mary? How does it affect our daily life? How does it affect our worship? Well, consider this. Do you believe that God is always with you? Probably. I would say most of you could say, yeah, I believe that God is always with me in some divine way. I mean, that would only make sense because he's God. He can do that. And yet, if Jesus is both 100% God and 100% human, then if Jesus is with you right now, he is as much with you as God as he is as a human. I know it's not just a spiritual matter, though. I know this is hard to get across, but you may not be able to see him sitting beside you or feel his arms around you, but he's more than just a spirit. He's more than just an idea of God, but he's right there, right now with you. Sitting beside you if you're watching from home, or in the pew right now, holding your hand. I know that might seem hard to believe, but these are the ramifications of what we confess every single week in the Apostles' Creed. Here's another example. When it comes to communion, which we'll be celebrating a little bit later today, Lutherans are strange. Roman Catholics, for instance, they believe that the bread and the wine transform, that they change, and they become Jesus' body and blood. No longer bread, no longer wine, just Jesus that you're eating and drinking, transformed completely. Most every other Christian denomination believes that it's just a symbol, that all you're eating is bread and the wine, and you're remembering what Jesus did. So you're just trying to experience him in a spiritual way. But Lutherans are completely weird in this. Because Lutherans, we believe that when Jesus said, "This bread is my body," or when he says the wine, "This wine is my blood," that by faith alone, of course, that we're eating both bread and Jesus. We're drinking both wine and Jesus. That it's the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. How is that possible, you might ask? How is it possible that bread can be both true bread and truly Jesus? Well, as I've been saying, you wouldn't doubt that Jesus is truly present here with us now, would you? Because he's divine. He is God, after all. You can do that. And yet, to believe that Jesus is here physically is also hard to believe for some reason. But if Jesus is here as God himself, then he must be here in his body as well. And if we can say that we receive Jesus in some spiritual way in communion, then we must also admit that we are eating him in some humanity way, physical way as well, or else he wouldn't be 100% human anymore. Just like the Play-Doh that I showed the children earlier today, we can't separate him anymore. Once he's God, he's fully God. Once he's human, he's fully human, and we don't get to pick him apart now that he's ascended into heaven. Martin Luther called this the real presence of Christ in communion. You might have heard that before. You might have even learned it in communion, but a lot of times we don't realize what that actually means. Martin Luther, because he was the kind of guy he was, loved to just shove this in people's faces. And so he'd say, when you're eating communion, you're gnawing on the bones of Christ. He just loved to throw that at people because he was trying to make the point that you can't make him less than human now, even though he's ascended into heaven. Of course, we can only believe this by faith, faith alone, and only if we believe that Jesus is truly God and truly a human being. And if you find this difficult, right, find it difficult to understand, then you understand why it is so powerful and challenging that we confess the Apostles' Creed every single week. When we say that I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, we're saying that God can do impossible things, like be born as a baby, that God could die on a cross. But we're also saying that God cares about us as much now as he did back when Jesus was walking on this earth, that he's still a human being like us. He experiences life like we do. That he's present here in his humanity and in his divinity. I know it's hard to believe. I agree. And it's impossible to believe without faith. That's where it ends. It says, I believe that Jesus is my Lord. And it's because of all that he has done and who he is that he can save me, be just like me, love me. But that's why we recite the Apostles' Creed week after week after week. To teach this truth and to pass down these teachings from generation to generation. It would probably be easier just to leave out these controversial statements, not talk about them, focus only on the teachings that people accept easily. But then we would be neutering our powerful God, the powerful God that we worship. God became flesh for you, Emmanuel. And he never stopped. He didn't stop becoming just like you. If you didn't know that you confess that every single week, you know it now. And I think that it's worth repeating week after week so that we can continue to remember this and learn what it means to truly have a God who is all-powerful, more powerful than we are, and truly just like us, even today. Amen.